Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. So many exciting places we could go today in God's precious word. I've just jotted down a couple notes for myself. I want to really just shoot from the hip today. Speak as the Lord leads. You ever wonder why you were born? You ever wonder why you're here? I believe one of the most important days that you will ever experience is the day that you discover why you were born. What's God's purpose for your life? Ever ask God that? What's God's purpose? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I believe God has something special in mind for each and every one of you. Yes. Father, these are just ordinary lips and an ordinary life. But I know that you can do extraordinary things if we're willing to place our life in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't allow a bully to define you. You're not defined by your eye color. Reminds me of a Monday's devotional in September the 11th. You remember reading? The little four-year-old girl, I asked her parents, you know that people with different eye colors can be friends too. Well, people of different color can be friends as well. You're not defined by your IQ or beauty or lack of it. Neither are you defined by whether you're tall or you're short, disabled or not, whether your address is that of a mansion or an underpass. You are a child of God, and you're defined by his love and his grace. And even more, he loves you so much that had you been the only one on the planet Earth who needed to be redeemed, he would have died for you. That's how much he loves you. What is in your hand? That was the question God asked Moses. What was in your hand? Well, it's just a rod. I use it to take care of the sheep. It's all it is. Just a branch I broke off and whittled into a rod. It's not a big deal. Throw it down. And it became a snake. Not only did the rod became a snake, it became a rod again. He picked it up and it became a rod. The Lord said, put your hand in your bosom. Take it out. It was white with leprosy. He said, put it back in again. Pull it out. And it was fine. Just like it was before. Now the Lord said, when you do these signs in front of Pharaoh, if he doesn't believe, go to the river, to the Nile, and get some water and pour it on the ground. And when it hits the ground, it'll turn to blood. And this is what I'll do to the rivers of Egypt. Wonderful and marvelous things God can do if you are willing to be used of him. What is in your hand? Brenda, what's in your hand? It's just a paintbrush, Lord. You'll be amazed when you give that paintbrush to Jesus what he'll do with it. You can change lives with your paintbrush. What's in your hand, Wayne? Just a wrench. With that wrench, you'll be able to repair somebody's car along the highway that's stranded and help them along their way. What's in your hand, Elroy or Mike? It's just a wood chisel. With that, you'll be able to build marvelous things. You built the church that we worship in today. Something that was your dream for many years. And God brought it to pass, Elroy. What do you have to give to the Lord? Lord, I just have this song that's been in my heart. And I put it in words. And I put it on paper. And with that, you've blessed many lives. And you know who I'm talking to. You've blessed many lives. I'm just an ordinary person. I have no special talents that I know of. You may have more than what you think. What's that in your hand? That's just a trowel. I use a masonry. Maybe you'll help build a missionary home or missionary church. Or repair somebody's chimney. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? He uses everyday experiences. You have everything that you need. The Lord said in verse 12, now if you're in chapter 4, he said, therefore go, and I'll be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, Moses came up with the excuse, I'm not a good speaker. And the Lord reminded him, well, who made man's mouth? Who made you the way you are? I did. Well, I can't speak well, Lord. Aaron can speak. Take him with you. I'll put the words in his mouth and he'll speak. Excuses. He had four of them. Of course, this is the fourth one in verse 10. This is his fourth excuse. His third one was in verse 1 of chapter 4. The other ones were in the chapter previous to that. I want to give you three helpful identities to help you decide what your gift is. You're saying, Pastor, I'm not sure what my gift is. Well, I'm going to help you with that. The first gift that God gave you is a gift of the head. What do you know more about than anyone else? Think about that. What do you know more about than anyone else? The second one is the gift of the hand. What can you do better than anyone else? Does that help you? Didn't hit everybody with that yet? I got a third one. What is the gift of the heart? What is your gift of the heart? Head, hand, and heart. What is the gift of your heart? What do you care about more than anything else? Does that help? What do you care more about than anything else? That'll help you determine what your gift is. And all of you have a gift. I'm looking out over you and I see one that has in her hand a comb or a brush. What's in your hand, Charity? As we use it, God can do extraordinary things with it. God told Moses to throw it on the ground. In order for it to be used, he had to release it. Does that make any sense to you? Because when you release it, you will increase it. How's that? When you release it, you will increase it. So as you use the gift that God has given you, you'll be amazed of how increased it will be. God will take it and increase it in such a way that you never thought was possible. You'll speak before people you would have always been afraid to speak before. And God can do extraordinary things with just your ordinary head, hands, and heart. Throw it on the ground and release it. Utilize what God has given you and not what you wished you had. Utilize what God has given you and not what you wished you'd have. Big difference. I wished I could do this. I wished I could do that. God has promised His presence and provisions and perseverance. Couldn't stop it, Moses. We can go anywhere you want to go in the scriptures. We could go to David. Hey, David, what you have in your hand? I have a rod. What else do you have, David? I have a sling. David was the youngest of seven. When Samuel came to Jesse to anoint one of his sons, he allowed all of them to pass before him. None of them was the one that God had picked. Samuel said to Jesse, "Is these all your sons?" Now Jesse said, "I have one more. There remains yet the youngest, and he keeps the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he comes." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look at. The Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And as you remember, there was Goliath. Now David was sent by his dad to get some food for the boys. The boys were in the valley of Elah. They were fighting with the Philistines, and dad said, "David, go take this food. Take for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren." And he left. He rose early. He left the sheep with a keeper, and he took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. They were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He came out and did so again. By this time, David said, "I'll go and I'll fight him." Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth. He's a man of war from his youth." David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after them, and I smote him, and delivered out of their mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Now it's interesting, as I was reading that, that David should mention the lion and the bear. Because in Revelation chapter 13, we have the beast of Revelation as the head of a lion, the body of a leopard, and the feet of a bear, representing the armies that will come against Israel in the last day. And who is Goliath? Goliath represents the Antichrist, who speaks great swelling words. Isn't that interesting? Back to David. Saul began to put armor on David. He put a helmet of brass on his head. He armed him with a coat of mail, girded his sword upon his armor, and sailed to go. And David said, I haven't proved any of this. I can't go with this stuff. I can only imagine this all this junk on him, and he's just a little fella. He probably can't hardly move. I don't need this stuff. I don't need any of it. He said, I'm going in the power of the Lord. And so he took his staff in his hand, chapter 40, verse chapter 17 of Samuel. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag. You know why he used 5? Goliath had 4 other brothers. Even in a script, and his sling was in his hand and drew near to the Philistine. David, what's in your hand? Just a sling, Lord, just a sling. But David was willing to use it for the Lord. And what great and mighty and wonderful acts he was able to do so, because he was willing to use it for the Lord. I think of Samson. Samson, what do you got in your hand? Just a jawbone. So many places in Scripture. Scotty sang about the boy that brought the loaf and fishes. What do you got here? Now, Nathaniel was kind of he was a man that, how would I say, he would figure out how many people there were and how many provisions there'd have to be for all these people. He was analytical, is the word I'm looking for. Nathaniel was analytical. And he said to the Lord, now what is this? Fish and bread. What is this? For so many people. That's what Nathaniel said. Is that what we do sometimes? God, I don't know how you're going to do it. It don't matter. It don't matter what you think. God's able to do above and beyond what you think. And when he blessed it, they had several baskets they had to pick up. Didn't want anything to go to waste. They had baskets they had to pick up that was left over. Little as much when what? You know it, when God is in it. Little as much when God is in it. God desires to use you today, ordinary people, to do extraordinary, wonderful things beyond your imagination. Think about the many that are here today. The gifts that you were given. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we didn't get there, but that talks about the gifts that God's given each of you. And they're important. And you're to use them here in the church and abroad, wherever you are. Use your gifts that God has given you. Do you have a gift to the head, the gift to the hand, and the gift to the heart? Sure you do. Every one of you have those gifts. I think of another. What's in your hand, Joyce? Oh, just a recipe book. In fact, I don't really need a recipe book. And I know she's used her gift because I've enjoyed it, and so have some of you. I got to tell the heart surgeon, don't you know the way to a man's heart is through his stomach? All right. Thank you for coming today. Would you bow your heads? Thank you, precious Jesus, for your presence today. Thank you for this message that you've laid on my heart. It indeed has spoke to me. Lord, I didn't have any particular talents to give you. But when you called, I answered. I said, I'll do what I can. And Lord, you know that there's been times that I've let you down. There's been times that I failed you, and I'm sorry, and I've asked you to forgive me, and yet I still wonder, Lord, why would you bother with me? But you love everybody. You love everyone. Thank you for going to Calvary for us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for suffering for us. and thank you for your resurrection, that we will all live forever. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Forgive me of my sins. That's all you need to do is ask him to forgive you of your sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. There are many. And I invite you to come and live in my heart. I want to live for you from this day forward. That's all you need to tell him. That's the conversation you need. That's repentance. Repent for the things you've done that are wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to live for you from this day forward. If you're here today, I hope you prayed that prayer. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to live for him. You'll see things change around in your life. Are you putting your money into a bag with holes in? Does it seem like you never have quite enough to pay for the bills? Did you put Jesus first in your life? Would you please put him first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on to you. Please put him first in your life. He wants to pay your bills. He wants to bless you. But he can't bless sin. He wants to bless righteousness. So would you live for him? With his help, would you try to live for him? Jesus, come and live in my heart. I want to live for you. I want you to bless our family and my children. But I want to live for you. Please help me to live for you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.